Now, nobody can actually believe that I am operating all these burner accounts.
Sure do.
yeah, I can too.
Everybody has got a burner account now, and they're all active. You really think I can do the show and remain active on all these burner accounts?
Okay, you know why it's so good? Whoever's doing these are so good. Because the followers, like, you have to look at not just who the account is. It's like, who are they following? So when you start an account, you have to follow, like, a bunch of people.
Yep.
So Ramona of House Berkeley, so it's at of underscore Berkeley, is following. And this is just pretty good. Following Mike Trudell, Venice Mace, Chris Haynes, Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst, Bill Simmons, Chris Broussard, Adrian Wojnarowski, Disney Plus, Kamala Harris, the Lakers,
Kamala
and Barack Obama.
Harris.
Like, that's so random. How could you have just come up with those? Those were Twitter suggestions, maybe?
Well, or did people change their Twitter handle names? Maybe that's what's going on.
It's potential, but the only thing that I would be concerned about is, if the same person is behind all of these, at some point Twitter is going to catch on and may lock you out of your account or the email associated with your account.
Well, it's definitely not me. I'm not getting locked out of any accounts.
Yeah. Just, you know.
Protest a little bit much there, huh?
I'm just, you know.
I'm not protesteth too much. Not at all. All right, so I'm starting a brand new tradition here on the show. This is highly original, never been tried before. It's going to be, I'm going to trademark it. We took some calls last hour, and it's time. I want you to listen to our huge call of the day. I like that, Kathy. I like that.
So, I used to work for Willie Davis, and all I want to do is impart pearls of wisdom to you guys.
Yeah.
So you can help the Rams and the Lakers with all that, because they really need that Vince Lombardi teaching.
That's great.
There you go. Kathy. Bro, nails it. Huge. That's huge. So, we still don't know what's going to happen with LeBron. I assume he's going to be suspended. Bro, I assume he's going to be suspended for a game, but no announcement has been made over the incident yesterday with Isaiah Stewart in Detroit. And much has been made that the Lakers came back to win that game. They were down 17 at one point. I would like to point out that that is a 4-win Pistons
yes.
team. Do we really believe, I think Bill Arum from The Athletic wrote that maybe this is the thing that ignites the Lakers and turns things around. Let me see the headline. Can fracas sparked by LeBron James be turning point for Lakers? No, that's not going to be a turning point for the Lakers.
No, this was just avoiding a bad loss.
Yeah, it was avoiding a bad loss, and they were facing a bad team. And the Lakers just frankly aren't very good right now. Even with all three of the big three on the floor, they're just not very good. The three guys don't necessarily, LeBron, AD, and Westbrook don't necessarily, they're not necessarily have the chemistry playing together at this moment. Defensively, they are an absolute disaster. That game in Boston was a complete embarrassment. And I think after the game, Frank Vogel said, like, if you can play defense, you can play for me. Who was he talking to?
I mean,
they have got substandard defensive players top to bottom on this roster. And I don't know if good defense is there. They're missing KCP, who is a great perimeter defender. Caruso, great defender. Kuzma came into his own as a defender last year. Those guys are all gone. I think Avery Bradley is a slightly overrated defender. Ellington, Monk, Carmelo, Rondo, all bad defenders. I mean, I just don't know if there are the makings of a good defensive team there, Momo.
Well, there's no the makings are not there. However, the only thing that matters is they have Anthony Davis, who is
correct.
A fantastic defender.
Who is all world.
Could be a defensive player of the year anytime he plays. LeBron has been all defense before, can be again. So you have two of the five guys out there in your starting lineup can be good defensive players, and that should be enough. The rest of it should be system and effort. If you have a good defensive system and you got people who are trying hard to buy into the system, you should be good. I'm not saying top five defense, but you could be respectable on that end of the ball.
Right now, I think they are middle of the pack. I haven't checked it today, but they have been middle of the pack. Where do you think the Lakers are in the brand new ESPN NBA power rankings?
They're 9-9 overall, so I would guess they're about 10th.
They are 16th.
Woo! Yeah, that's actually where they should be. I thought they'd be a little inflated, but that's where they should be.
And, you know, I think it's time to have – I mean, I don't think it's time to worry, but I think it's time to have genuine concerns about what we're seeing.
Yep.
We're 18 games into the season.
Usually you say 20, 25 games.
I mean, they were just awful at Boston on Friday night.
Yeah, they had everybody.
It was no contest.
They were about to lose yesterday, and then Anthony Davis kind of blocked three shots in the last couple minutes.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham never saw Anthony Davis coming.
Yeah, Anthony Davis just won that game by himself yesterday.
Blocked a drive. And Westbrook was great in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah. Westbrook and AD were good together in the fourth. But, I mean, it's, you know, the point of having Westbrook was to go fill the gaps for when LeBron has been out.
Correct.
When LeBron or AD are hurt, Russ is supposed to step in and be able to carry the team. I mean, it took a lot for Russ and AD to bring them back yesterday, and they finally did. But, you know, I guess, they got the win. They came back, so they should feel good about that. But it's
But we shouldn't be, like, blown away. Like, this is a turning point in the season. All of a sudden, it clicked.
I mean, look, the Warriors, who I would say have on par or on average less talent than the Lakers, right? Would
you? And by the way, they are number one in the ESPN.
As they should
NBA
be.
Power
the Warriors are great. Steph Curry had his worst shooting game of the year yesterday against the Raptors. He was 2-for-10 from the field. They still won. Because they have a balanced team now. They have a great system. They have an identity on both sides of the ball. So you can have a bad night. You can have Steph Curry have a bad night and still win the game because you're playing within a system and you have an identity. I don't think this team has any identity.
I agree. No identity. No
identity. Either side of the ball, offensively or defensively.
You know, Phoenix is second in the power rankings.
Mm-hmm. They won 12 in a row.
12 in a row. Brooklyn is actually third. And, like, they're going out and winning games. They didn't have Durant this weekend. They
went
out and
won. And they won because they have an identity.
They know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't think we know what this Lakers team is.
And you know, when they don't have Durant, they still have Harden.
I don't think they know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, they still have James Harden, and the Lakers still have Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. And who's been playing better?
Yeah.
Brooklyn. It's not even close.
It's them. Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for genuine, not worry, nobody should freak out at this point, but I think genuine concern.
Mm-hmm.
Because the roster has been completely rebuilt from last year, and we don't have the defensive pieces that we had a year ago. And the defense, you know, the defense in that Boston game was just terrible. They had a shot there at the end of the, with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I think. And they had a shot. If they had made a couple of stops, they could have climbed back into the game. And they just don't have them in that right. Don't have that in them right now. Bergman, what do you think?
I think you're right. They're a terrible defensive team. I don't think they're going to be any good for quite some time. I don't think that this team is built all that well. I think that they overcorrected from last year when they had a pretty good defensive team.
Take this there. Go ahead and lay out your theory because this is interesting.
So last year, they had a good defensive team. They were number one or number two in defense throughout the entire year. They got rid of basically everybody that could play a lick of defense, and they overcorrected for shooters that all really aren't shooting all that great, but okay enough. So they overcorrected on the defensive end to go towards the shooting end.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't disagree with that. But I think the fundamental question with the Lakers will always come down to, I mean, we can start, I think it all starts with LeBron getting hurt in the Phoenix series.
Sure.
And Anthony Davis getting hurt in the Phoenix series.
Oh, no question.
If those guys are healthy, then I think the Lakers win that series, and I think they go all the way to the finals. Like, you know, they were going to play, who did Phoenix play in the next round? Denver with a wounded Jokic, and then they, you know, they had to play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals when they lost Kawhi. I mean, that path was wide open. It was really that first round. And if they go all the way, if they don't get hurt in the first round, I think they have a very successful season last year, and they don't do anything to the team. Keep it the same.
Lakers, by the way, 20th in defensive rating. 20th in defensive rating.
I mean, they still might have gotten rid of Schroeder. That might have been the change.
You know who's number one in defensive rating?
Celtics.
Golden State.
Golden State. Yeah. Okay. Celtics are up there now. They've been pretty good defensively.
Hey, Momo, do you think you were just saying that they would have stayed the same? Maybe they got a Schroeder. Do you think they would have tried to bring in Buddy Hield instead of Russ if they went?
I'm not sure of. That's what's interesting because the explanation I've always gotten is if the Lakers felt like because Anthony Davis and LeBron have been getting hurt a lot, they needed a third star who could carry the team when one or both are out.
Yeah.
And Russ still fits that more than Buddy Hield does.
And Hield is not that guy.
Right.
Hield is a great deadly
great complimentary
shooter,
player.
Obviously, great complimentary player, but he's not going to run your offense when those guys are off the floor.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Schroeder would have been back either way, but you never know. What if he had a great playoff?
Yeah.
I mean, he just had such a horrible playoff.
Imagine
that
if he had taken that $84 million.
Ooh.
You watching that Celtics game Friday, that's all I could think is, man, you lost $84 million.
You know what, though? You want to feel bad for him, like, he's fine. It was his choice. This wasn't his agent giving him bad advice. This was him betting on himself, pushing it. Like, you're a gambler, Mace, right? Like, when you get up a little bit, let's say you're up $500 in the first couple hours, you get up, you walk away?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm capable.
And then the times that you don't, when you decide to let it roll and then you lose all your money, are you upset?
Yeah, sure, I get upset.
Yeah, I'm upset, but I'm just mad at myself because I'm like, oh, it's my fault, my bad.
But that doesn't account for $84 million.
I know, but he had one good contract already. It's not like
he had $84 million or $5.9 million.
I know, it's pretty bad.
He wound up with $5.9 million.
Yeah, but he was arrogant. He pushed it all year, and like, there's a part of me that's like, that dude came in and demanded to start when he'd never started. And on a championship team that just won the championship and wanted to start, it's like, who are you? Like, you don't get to demand that. And then came in with kind of a bad attitude, turned them down on their extension right out of the gates when they didn't have to offer it to him. And just he was just relying on the fact that they couldn't replace him. They thought that he thought that they couldn't replace him. That because of the way they were strapped with the salary cap and up against the luxury tax, they would have no means to replace him. And he was wrong. So, you know, he was like, Mr. I'm a sports owner and I own a team in Germany and I know how this works and it's just business. So, like, when you think you're smarter than the game and you think that you...
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to feel sorry for you.
Yeah. No, he blew it.
Yeah, and he was arrogant about it, too.
Yeah, he was. So, he was. You know. All right. I guess the question is, are you concerned about the Lakers? Are you concerned about the Lakers? What are you seeing from the Lakers right now? Are you concerned? 877-710-ESPN. You heard what we think. 877-710-ESPN. Are there the makings of a good defense there? Do they have the pieces for a good defense? What I mean, even with LeBron James, with everybody on Friday, they got blown the doors off by the Celtics. 877-710-ESPN. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so what is going on? It is Monday of Thanksgiving week. So what's that over the river, through the woods? Are you going to see mom and dad, family for
Thanksgiving? Yeah, I don't have to go over any rivers or anything. It's like 10 minutes away.
Bergman, what do you do? Good. Your family's in town, right?
Yeah, my family's here, and I'm going to be with my brother and my mom.
Are you a turkey family or a ham family?
We are a turkey family.
Oh, we do both.
Yeah,
do you do both?
Wow. Yeah, so my mom makes the turkey and Nevin's dad makes the ham. He makes a good ham. He's like a gourmet cook, so he does it like it's
we
not like
you having one of them honey bank.
Yeah, those are good too. But
those are good. There's a rumor that O.J. Simpson used to own all the honey baked hams.
What?
Shops and have you
really?
Ever heard that?
No.
Somebody see if they can confirm that story.
I'm sure it's true.
O.J. used to own all the honey baked ham stores in Los Angeles.
Stupid.
No, I'm not true. I'm not kidding.
Come on.
No, I'm totally not kidding.
All of them?
Yeah, he was the franchisee. OJ Honey Baked Ham. I think it's true.
Real estate holdings include such franchises as Honey Baked Ham and Pioneer Chicken Stores.
There you go.
Okay, so he has a few.
Yeah, but I was not making that up.
All right. Yeah. Usually, most weird things are based in some kind of truth. Like, Have you ever heard the one that, like, okay, so I went out to lunch one time with this woman, and I said, she's like, I'm going to have the turkey sandwich. It's the only kind of meat I'll eat. I was like, really? Only turkey? So most people are like vegetarian, or they'll only eat fish. This woman said, I'll only eat turkey because they're the stupidest animals. I said, what do you mean? How do you know they're stupid? She goes, well, when turkeys, when you put them outside in the rain, they
look
drown.
They drown. That's
100%
true.
They look up
true.
And they drown. Yeah. Apparently, it's not true. I thought it was true, too, because my grandfather used to tell me that, too. And he grew up on a farm.
I choose to believe it's true.
I think it's true, too. It sounds right to me. But it's not. Apparently, just type it into, like, turkeys drown in the rain. And everybody's like, oh, no, that's a myth.
Well, you know what happened? We were talking about rumors.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy. Today, on this date in 1963, was the JFK assassination.
Really?
Ireland is a big believer that there was a shooter on the grassy knoll. Have you ever been to Dealey Plaza?
I have. I've driven by there.
You can actually look out the window mm-hmm. of the book depository. And I am convinced, you know Occam's razor, right? You went
yes.
to Cal, so you know what Occam's razor is.
No, but only if I went to Stanford, I'd know what it is. But Cal didn't teach that.
It is the, how do you say Occam's razor? What
you're
does
saying
it,
it right. Occam's razor means the simplest explanation is usually the
it's
right
probably
one.
Probably the right one, yeah. That's why I don't understand the people that are like, there were shooters all over the place and all this stuff. No, it was a window. It was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes. Yeah.
Obvious to me.
Back into the left, Mace. Back into the left.
Oh, God.
Oh, you think so?
It's back and to the left. It's weird, man. That shouldn't happen from behind.
Did you or did you not once do a game where you read all the weird conspiracy theories and said, which one of these do you believe in, Mace?
Momo, we've been doing a lot of games over the years. I'm sure we did do that game.
You made me do a whole thing, and it was just like, do you believe that the black helicopters over Los Angeles are really...
Well, I don't believe there was another shooter at Dealey Plaza.
But why?
Because have you ever looked out the window there?
No, I've never been there.
It's very close.
It's very close.
It's not like from a long distance, the shot. I mean, it's close.
But why did his head go back and to the left?
Because bad things happen when you get hit in the head with a...
But if you're getting shot from behind, your head shouldn't go backwards.
Yeah, Bergman, I think you should do some more. Although Oliver Stone has got a special on tonight about why, again, this is a legitimate conspiracy. But
I think conspiracies are really hard to pull off. You know what I mean? Like, it's
there's so many moving parts.
In
this day and age, I think conspiracies are impossible to pull off because of social media.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to see something somewhere.
It's like everybody watches Ocean's 11 and is like, oh, yeah, that's totally plausible.
Think about this. If the JFK thing happened today, everybody would have their cell phones out.
Oh, for sure. And we'd have a million angles
at
it.
We'd have a million different angles.
True.
But of the JFK assassination, we only have the Zapruder film, which my understanding is the most viewed film in history.
Really?
Yeah. Well, think about it.
Yeah.
It
makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
You want to know something real fast, Mace?
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to believe that you are not running the Mason Mafia, Greg Bergman, Ramona Shelburne...
Really? Tell me.
...accounts.
What's
because
the
while tip-off? While you guys have been talking, unless you're really good at multitasking, there's been two guys going at it on back and forth.
Yes.
It's nonstop. It's me versus you right now, apparently.
Is it? The Bergman parody account versus the Mason parody.
Yeah, they're currently yelling at each other, and they don't like each other, apparently.
Yeah, they do not like each other.
I think Mace is behind, like, maybe one account. Everything else is fans.
Absolutely none.
None.
None of it is me.
Well, you have an official burner account.
I do have an actual burner account
that's
that I
one.
Use from time
official.
To time.
Yeah, it's Venice Mace Burner.
Yeah, Venice Mace Burner.
Does it literally say the official burner account of Venice Mace?
Yes, it does.
Should be the Twitter handle.
Do you remember how
it defeats the purpose of a burner account? But yeah, it does say the official burner account of Venice Mace.
Do you remember how you got caught with that?
No, do you?
Yeah, I do. So I was on the show with you. It was before I came back for this time, and you brought out this burner account, and you were talking, and all of a sudden you started talking as if you were the burner account on your own account, and both Ireland and I caught you.
It.
Yeah, and Ireland both are like, you're talking on your own account, Mace, and you're like, oh. Oops.
Oh, that's right. I accidentally sent out a tweet on my burner account.
Here's the thing. There's no way that it is Venice Mace. There's no way that Mace is able to go back and forth between 10 different accounts at this point. And also, I have met.
By the way, it is literally 10
accounts. 10 accounts at this point. And also, I have seen the fans of your show. I went to those. I've been to live remotes.
Yes.
And people are, they really like your show. Like, they show up at wherever you go. I mean, I drove all the way to Orange County. There was a huge crowd of people. People were, like, bringing Mace bags of whatever they bring him.
Yeah. By the way, anytime I make an appearance, people bring me bags of cannabis.
Yeah. I mean, you should do a remote every week. You put Ease out of business.
You never have to go to the dispensary again. You're absolutely
Although, do
right.
you really trust, like, random people bringing you bags of whatever?
You know, weed is weed, right?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. You're living dangerously that way. I mean,
I'll tell you one thing that I learned yesterday. Excuse me. Is that the NFC is now officially up for grabs. Mm-hmm. Let's do that coming up now. It's a tease. Don't Seinfeld me. It's a tease. That is, we'll get into that coming up next for you. Plus, the question I get more often than any other. That is also coming up for you next on Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah. Made me look stupid. Fine. So, what's up, people? You know, I do think that the week leading up to Thanksgiving is kind of a, I mean, it's loose, right? People are,
yeah.
Don't people start taking off on Monday?
I feel like they were taking off last week. I feel like Thanksgiving started a week early this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're going to be here all week, and Momo's filling in for John, and we got Lakers games coming up for you tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow at the Knicks and Wednesday at Indiana. And we don't know the status of LeBron James. They're, you know, we're guessing that he could be suspended as early as today. We'll find out. The question I've been getting more than anything lately is, when's the next MegaCast?
Yeah.
You know, we did the MegaCast for the Monday Night Football game between the 49ers and the Rams. We did one half. It was me, Bergman, Ireland, Jorge, and then Scott Kaplan jumped in for the second quarter of the game. And I'm noticing the Manning Cast guests for tonight. Have you seen who they have on?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, I think it's a really good group.
Could be.
Bill Parcells?
Yeah, that'll be good. I like that.
Kevin Hart?
Okay.
Condoleezza Rice?
Sounds like it could be good, but also could be kind of dull.
Huge football fan. Huge football
fan. I know. I used to work out with
Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that'll be good. I like Condi. So I used to work out with her in the weight room. She used to like...
She went to Berkeley too, right?
She went to Stanford. Stanford.
So
she would be in the workroom. She would be in the weight room. She was like woman of the people.
Have we decided the next MegaCast? Have we chosen something?
I thought we were doing the Knicks game, but I guess that like never got going.
Yeah, we couldn't get anybody to be here
too
to do that. It is very complicated. It was too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we do it next year.
Next year? Well, no, we're not going to wait until next year.
You mean 2022?
Yeah, in 2022. Yeah, because it's we're a month and a half away. But on the 13th, we were going to do it for the Arizona.
Yeah, not going to do it for another Rams game.
Right. See, that's the problem.
For another Rams game.
So it has to be during a Laker game.
It has to be a Lakers game.
And it has to be one that, you know, you're already here, and hopefully Momo can be here that day. So we just have to find the right day, but you're gone. There's just a lot of moving pieces, Mace.
Yeah,
I still
think we should do one before the end of the year.
It's not just us doing it. We need people to actually run it as well. Like Carlo needs to run it, or Janice needs to run it. So
yeah.
And we want to get it sold, and there's a bunch of stuff.
Oh, I see.
We're going to do it. If they sell it, they sell it.
Yeah, we will. I will try. I had it almost ready for Tuesday, for tomorrow, but
you know what it sounds like? You're not working that hard.
It's for the people. It's not for the sales staff. It's for the people.
Mace, do you think Greg could work a little harder on this?
Yeah.
I know. I don't work hard at all.
Definitely.
I sit in my office and I do nothing. I put my feet up and I just lay back,
like,
and I sleep sometimes.
Oh, that's what it is. Like 6:30 in the morning.
I sleep sometimes, yeah.
I get text messages from him at 6:30 in the morning, like, you know, it's like linking to some John Heyman tweet. Maybe yeah. I'm like, this is what you're doing.
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought up the Heyman tweet.
Mm-hmm.
So the John Heyman tweet that came out at 10:23 this morning, John Heyman from MLB Network.
I never know where he's from anymore, but I know John Heyman.
Dodgers are trying to bring back Corey Seager, but don't appear seriously interested in the other big free agent shortstops. For them, it'll be either Seager or Trey Turner at shortstop next season. So the Dodgers are working to bring back Corey Seager.
In other words, no Carlos Correa.
No Carlos Correa, no Trevor Story, no Javi Baez, no Marcus Semien. Those are the other big
fine with all of that
infielders, yeah. I mean, Corey Seager is the guy.
I think they're getting Corey back.
Do you?
Fearless prediction. I think they get Corey back. I'm not so sure about Trey Turner, though. We shall
see. No, Trey Turner's under contract.
I know, but let's see if he stays.
Oh, no, of course he's going to stay.
Well, we'll see. Do they really want him to go into a walk year?
Yeah.
Oh, you think they're going to trade him?
Trade him when he's on a cost-controlled contract for next year?
If they get Corey Seager back, then I think you have to.
No, I think you play Trey Turner at second base.
You're just going to let a guy that talented go into a walk year because you can't pay both of them.
Wait a minute, Corey Seager just went into a walk year.
I know, but they got Trey Turner to back him up.
Right.
So they wouldn't lose him for nothing.
There's no way. Trey Turner is going to be either the shortstop or the second baseman next year.
Okay, well then you trade Gavin Lux then.
Gavin Lux is the guy. If they re-sign Corey Seager, they could move Gavin Lux in a deal for those Red starters, Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray.
But I'd rather have the next 5 years of Gavin Lux than the next 5 years of Trey Turner.
Do you know how much money
Trey Turner is going to command on the open market?
Have the next 5 years of Gavin
in terms
Lux
of money,
the next 5 years of Trey Turner?
I'd rather pay Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager.
I'm not ready to pay Cody Bellinger.
Okay. Trey Turner just
ready
totally
to pay
disappeared.
Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, after the postseason he had, yeah.
Yeah, I'm I need
Trey
to
Turner
see more
was like
Cody
200
Bellinger.
In the postseason. He was rough and he's yeah.
He batted 165 during the regular season.
Yeah, so I know it's Cody was bad, but he made the adjustment when it counted.
Okay, so I mean, let me just get this straight, Momo.
Yeah.
Tell me if these are statements that you made. You said you'd rather have the next 5 years of Gavin Lux over the next 5 years of Trey Turner.
If they keep Corey Seager. That's all I get. If they keep Corey, which it's going to cost a lot, but I'd rather have Corey Seager. If you name all three of those players, okay? So let's do a name of who is most important to keep. Trey Turner, Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Gavin Lux. I would put Corey Seager at the top of that list.
I would put Corey Seager at the top, and I put Trey Turner second.
Second, okay. But I don't know if you can keep both.
Trey Turner is a career 300 hitter.
I know, he's really good. But
he was fifth in MVP voting.
What was he in the playoffs when he was with Washington? I don't remember him being good with the Nationals either.
I don't think he was. Yeah. I think that's a totally fair statement. He with the Nationals, was not a big, had a couple of big series and the rest of them were busts.
And I think Corey is proven clutch hitter, World Series MVP,
NLCS MVP.
Yeah.
No,
Cody,
but what you're saying is Corey instead of Trey Turner. I'm saying Corey plus Trey Turner.
Okay, if you think they're going to spend that much money, sure.
Trey Turner's under contract for this year.
For one more year.
Yeah, so why don't you use that one more year? Bergman, am I making any sense here?
No, yeah, I think you keep him too for this year. It's just Momo is kind of right in the fact that if you can get something for him.
Hey, I'll take kind of
right. No. If you could get something for Cody Bellinger, I'd move Cody Bellinger. I'm not moving Trey Turner.
If you're going to pay somebody, I would rather pay Turner than I would rather pay Bellinger, sure.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, Turner's a difference maker. He's got speed. He's great on the base pass. He's got
great.
Power.
He's a great player.
He does everything.
Better than anybody in Major League Baseball. Awesome.
That slide is pretty incredible.
The slide is amazing.
Yeah, that should be on the Tom and Mansky videos.
But if Trey does not want to be here, you have to know going into the next season, does Trey want to be here next year? Even if, whether as the shortstop or the second baseman, does he want to be here? If he doesn't, then yeah, you move him and
I've
try and get something.
I've got him at a number. Why would I move him?
Because if he doesn't want to be here and he leaves after next year, wouldn't you rather get something for him than not?
No, I want the season that's coming up. I'm all in.
So then he walks away. He walks away next year. You're okay with him totally walking away.
After this season.
You're okay with him just walking away and getting nothing.
I've got a chance to sign him, just like I got a chance to sign Corey Seager right
now. That's what I'm saying. If he tells you, I don't actually want to be here. I'm going to play out this year, and I'm going to play my hardest because I love playing baseball, and I'm going to be the best. But I am gone next season.
Yeah, I would do it.
You'd still do it? You're crazy.
Just like I did it with Max Scherzer. I knew I didn't have Max Scherzer pass this year.
You still have a chance at getting Max Scherzer
still have
this
a
year.
Chance, but yeah. The fact is that when I traded for him, he was in his quote-unquote walk year.
Right, but that was more so because you were pushing towards the postseason. It was a deadline deal. It wasn't for the whole season.
But that deal was about two things. It was about, one, renting Scherzer, and two, getting Turner. I think that they are going to be committed to keeping Trey Turner.
In case Corey Seager leaves.
No, in addition to Corey Seager.
I would love to have both. Yeah, Momo, you'd love to have both.
Yeah, you'd like to have both, but I just
don't
see how
you
can pay
all those
players.
And I don't know what Gavin Lux is at this point. Do you know what Gavin Lux is?
I think Gavin Lux, and this is going to sound crazy, but I think in baseball terms it's true. I think you would get more for Gavin Lux in a trade than you would for Trey Turner.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Because 1 year of Trey Turner.
You're saying...
Unless you know he's going to sign an extension, which I don't think he would. Gavin Lux, under team control, whatever you want to call it, for the next 5 years, and he's a burgeoning young star with that kind of talent.
Is he a burgeoning young star?
Well, I think so, especially what you saw in the last month of the season. He finally showed those flashes.
But he batted .242 for the year.
He wasn't good there.
He's a career .233 hitter and just over .400.
So that's
I'm not
you
saying
have to
he's
trust.
Not going to be a star.
Yeah.
He batted .208 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Gavin Lux, if they choose to keep Gavin Lux, and I trust the smart guys in the front office.
Yeah,
to know
I think
this.
We have to just trust the Dodgers' value. They know Gavin Lux better than any of us.
He had a really good 17-game stretch. Then he was awful in the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's the truth of Gavin Lux. But if you've got a chance to have a middle infield of Trey Turner and Corey Seager for the 2022 season, my God, you do it. That's the best middle infield in all of baseball.
And then you pretend, because in baseball, you don't get as much for a great player who's in the last year of their deal. You just don't. You can get like a decent prospect, but that's why
when you trade somebody like that,
it's usually with a couple years
Trey
left on
Turner
the deal.
Is going to be a guy that gets us to next year's World Series.
You can talk me into it. I just don't know how they're going to spend that much money.
All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right. So did you guys see over the weekend, it might have even been yesterday, that a guy at the Sacramento Kings game was so drunk that he puked courtside?
No, gross. I didn't see that.
Yes,
oh, it was really, really gross. But you can look it up. Just look up Sacramento Kings puke.
Just, and he,
like, he's just sitting courtside and sitting in front of him.
You don't need to see it, Mace. I just don't do it.
It's pretty gross.
It's just like a, it's like in that.
What do you think he was drinking? Because normally beer doesn't make you throw.
Oh,
you
no. mix it up.
Normally
he mixed it up.
Oh, he mixed it up for sure.
And he was like, and it kept going. It was
and
like
pregame did in the parking lot, I bet.
Yeah, it was super gross.
Yeah, he was stumbling. It was not a good sight.
Well, it's in Sacramento.
They had to
what
stop
else
the game
do you have
for
to
like
do
10
but get
minutes.
Drunk?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it had to stop. Well, he had to clean that, get the smell gone. Yeah, it's crazy thing. But so what is the weird, you guys have sat courtside, you've been in a ton of games. What is the weirdest thing that you have seen courtside at a game? Because I've never seen anything like that happen before.
I think the weirdest thing, it's not really that weird. Ramona and I were together.
Yeah.
And we were sitting near the court. And in front of us was Britney Spears and her boyfriend. And so they were taking pictures, and it looked like we were in the same picture as Britney Spears and her boyfriend or husband or whatever that is. And it ran in the New York Post. It ran all over the place. And there was Momo and I. That was I would say that's the coolest thing that ever happened courtside.
We looked like we belonged, Mace.
Yes.
Like I was like running my hair through my hands.
Yeah.
You know, and like you were like.
I looked like I needed to be in a conservatorship.
I think you had a vest on. Did you have the vest on?
I don't think I was wearing a vest.
I think you had the plaid and the vest on.
But if I told you I was in a conservatorship, wouldn't you say, yeah, that makes sense?
Yeah, it would not shock me.
Yeah.
Totally would buy that.
What about you, Mama? Any other stories from courtside?
I feel like I've seen so many weird celebrities just doing stuff for attention all the time. I can't. I just, I'm blanking because I'm on the spot right now.
But, well, you know what a lot of it is? Is yeah. They all walk back way before halftime, like the middle of the second quarter. Yeah. They all walk back to the
chairman's room.
Is it the chairman's room?
Yeah.
Which is a totally overrated experience. It's just, is like shoulder to shoulder crowded.
Yeah.
But they all love to make that walk
in
the middle of the second quarter to the chairman's room.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I've seen a lot of celebrities who are there and have no idea why they're there.
Most charismatic star you've ever seen courtside.
Well, Denzel. I mean, you know who I love courtside? I love Allison Janney. Allison Janney's a pretty big fan.
Oh, yeah. I've never
done that. And I had a big thing for – I wanted to be CJ Craig on The West Wing when I was growing up. And so every time I see Allison Janney, I'm like, you're CJ Craig?
In terms of charisma, I'll tell you what. Adele is one of the most charismatic stars I've ever seen.
She had some
level
pants on that day, too.
Yeah, she looked great. Bergman, you ever have any courtside experiences?
Yeah, I had one. So I was with Amanda. We had just kind of gotten this this promotion, and we were going to sit courtside with one of the bosses. And we walked up, and people were sitting in our seats. And we said, like, oh, hey, you're sitting in our seat. Is there any way we can move? Turned out that it was Chance the Rapper.
Wow.
So we kicked
Chance the Rapper was in your seats?
Chance the Rapper was in our seats, and we had to kick Chance the Rapper out of our seats.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was very strange.
And he's such a nice guy.
He was. He just got up, and he's like, oh, no, sorry about that. They were on the other side.
Yeah. He's a very happy rapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I think, of course, most of the time, it's like, I've seen Jay-Z and Beyonce a few times. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I did that whole thing. Remember when Beyonce kind of looked side-eye at that at the owner, the Warriors owner's wife?
Mm-mm.
Do you remember that whole story?
No.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I got in the Beehive. I was like reporting live from the Beehive. It was
Beehive
great.
Is so not scary.
Oh, here we go. Let's do this real quick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Beehive does not scare me at all.
Just stop. Be careful.
Just wait till you get stung.
I've actually tweeted the Beehive, and I got very few things.
If you type in Ramona and Beyonce, you will find a lot of stories.
Get out of here.
Do it right now. Google it.
Okay. Bergman, what's next?
All right, so Baker Mayfield was booed in Cleveland yesterday after eking out a win over the winless Lions. Well, Emily Mayfield, Baker's wife, wrote this on Instagram before deleting it. No one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I have seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take the hint and get tougher. Do you agree or disagree with Emily Mayfield? Momo.
You know what? He was playing with all sorts of injuries and all that, but I'm kind of over Baker Mayfield. Like, he's just kind of a jerk, huh?
Well, wait a minute. He's injured. He's beat up.
I know, but
won.
Like, you hear his press conference this morning. He was
Detroit.
I didn't want to have a press conference last night. I was just over it. And I don't know. I played terrible but I don't have to be accountable to any of you guys. I already talked to the team. That's the only people I'm accountable to. Like, he just added that little shot at the media as if.
Yeah.
Like, just to be mean, and I don't know, dude, like, we don't go around looking for fights with people. Like,
you're the starting quarterback. Do Cleveland fans not realize that they were, like, 0-16 3-4 years
he's
ago,
right.
And now they're 6-5
right.
And in the playoff chase? I mean, give Baker Mayfield some credit. He's beat up, and he's playing, and he's getting you wins.
I'll tell you this, Mace. I have heard some behind-the-scenes stories that are not so flattering.
Come on. Yeah. All those commercials he does where he's living in the stadium. And
him and her. I don't know. I'm just over it. I heard some things.
What did you hear? Don't just say what you heard.
It's not my thing. I just like they take themselves very seriously. Let's put it that way. Like ghosting people for interviews, like people who flew into town for them and not showing up, not even like acknowledging that. I don't know. Just eh. Eh.
4 years ago. Right. And now they're
a good player, but it's just a lot of drama, unnecessary drama, I think.
Okay.
All right, Jorge, your turn.
All right, so last night, the baby wanted to watch the Paw Patrol movie, right?
Yeah.
So they wanted popcorn.
Yeah.
We didn't have any, so I had to go to the store. But somebody said, get Orville popcorn. Somebody else said, get Pop Secret popcorn. And then I like Act 2 popcorn. Microwave popcorn, obviously.
Yes.
Are those all microwave popcorn?
Yeah, they're all microwave. Okay. But Orville is the one you get at AMC and whatever.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's why they wanted Orville. So what is your go-to popcorn, or it doesn't matter?
I have zero idea. Just whatever they have in the theater.
Microwave popcorn, whatever it is.
We do air-popped popcorn here a lot.
It's, yeah?
You know, it's healthier, obviously. It doesn't taste nearly as good, but we eat a lot of Air Pop popcorn. And I have, you know that Colonel Seasons, the stuff you sprinkle on the popcorn? I've got the white cheddar flavor that I sprinkle on popcorn. Hmm. And so I went to the movies three times this weekend. I saw King Richard, I saw The Eternals, and I saw yesterday Ghostbusters Afterlife. And all three times, one of the reasons I go to the movies, I go to the Landmark over here on the west side, and one of the reasons I go to the movies is for that small bag of popcorn. I love movie theater popcorn. And here's what's weird about it. I'll tell you a story about popcorn. So back in the day, popcorn has always been made with coconut oil. And that's one of the reasons why when you walk into a movie theater, you have that great popcorn smell.
Mm.
And there was this movement to make popcorn more healthy when I was owning theaters.
Yep.
And everybody said, well, go to canola oil and promote you're going to canola oil. And so we did it like everybody else. We went to canola oil. It has less calories. It's better for you. It doesn't have that smell. And so popcorn, not only did people not like it as much, fewer people smelled that smell and decided I'm going to buy. It killed popcorn sales.
Interesting.
So we, along with everybody else, went back to coconut oil. It's the one time where your health doesn't matter. That day is not going to count against your cholesterol. Eat the popcorn in the coconut oil. It's fantastic.
Hey, Jorge, I think that the Jiffy Pop is the one that we used to have when we were kids. Remember, you know the one that's like a...
Like the tin foil?
Yeah, the tin foil one, and it makes a big... Yeah.
Oh, I see it.
That's a good one. It's kind of fun to make that, too, on the stove.
Just expands, no? Like the little thing?
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you talked about King Richard there, Mason.
Yeah.
I watched King Richard over the weekend.
Yeah,
it was
on HBO
really,
Max.
Really good. Will Smith was great, and the fact that it was based more on Venus than Serena was interesting to me. The question was, if you watched it, what does it change anything about your opinion of Richard Williams afterwards, or what did you think of it?
Well, here's what's interesting about this movie. So I saw it over the weekend.
I'm watching it tonight. Don't spoil it. I'm watching it tonight.
I'm just going to tell you generally speaking.
I mean, it's
fantastic.
Real life.
It's fantastic. And I will tell you that Richard Williams is not involved in the production or the making of the movie.
Oh.
Not at all?
No.
Interesting.
It is Venus and Serena's version of their dad. And Will Smith should win the Academy Award for Best Actor. He is so friggin' good as Richard Williams. And the one thing I'll say is LeVar Ball became the latter-day Richard Williams. Richard Williams was very much, his act was very similar to the act that LeVar Ball has had with his sons. Not necessarily, and in a fun way.
Different.
In a fun way. But I thought Will Smith was fantastic. The accent, everything was great.
Will Smith was great. And the fact that he was trying to do it to keep his kids off the street, like that was what made it different than LeVar, I feel, in all of this. He just believed in his kids and was doing everything he possibly could, going to all these different places, trying to get things for free. It was incredible. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max and in theaters, King Richard. You haven't seen it yet, Momo?
I have not. No, I was finishing Mayor of Easttown. Like, I'm that
far
behind.
Oh, how is it?
Wait a minute.
There are two mayor shows.
The Mayor of Easttown. The
prison?
No, that's the one with Kate Winslet and stuff. I'm really behind.
Yeah, there's another one called Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh, yeah, Kingstown. That's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know Easttown was good because they all had to get that like Delaware County accent. It was a good murder mystery thing. It was good.
Yeah,
but
we all had that
seven
accent.
Seven episodes.
My family all had that accent.
Can you do
what
it?
Yin's done?
Water?
What are Yin's done? Yin's gone down the mall.
Can you get me a glass of water?
Oh, my God, Donna. My mom's first name is Donna, so it's Donna. Oh, my God, Donna.
And, like, you know, Kate's, like, she's British. I mean, right? Is she British?
She pulled it off.
She pulled off the accent.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good.
I sent you that link to Me and the Beehive, by the way.
Strong recommend. Fantastic movie. Loved it.
I'll probably watch it in 6 months. That's how far behind I am.
Check it out soon. You're a big fan of Venus and Serena.
You're right.
This is their movie. They're executive producers.
I love the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
Both of them.
That'll do it.
There's my stats.
Where's the weird stats?
I'll do that tomorrow for you.
You did it with the Dodgers.
Yeah, you did all that.
Yeah, you did all that with the Dodgers.
Oh, what do you think? Who do you want? And you went
but that wasn't weird stats.
No. But
like, if I did weird stats, it'd be like,
it was which, a weird idea.
Which four shortstops have led the NL
in fielding percentage each seven of the last 12 years? You put the pressure on it, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore because you're just getting made fun of. It's not fun for anyone.
No, it was fun for Mason. Mason gets upset by it,
so I was like, eh, I'll just not
Mason's always upset.
That's right.
I'm not always upset. I'm always in a good mood.
I wish I got Odell Beckham Jr. news. Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Oh, yeah.
And the NFC is up for grabs. We'll get into all that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
He's I.